Free Speech Radio is alive and well in Sacramento on The Voice.
I don't know how to talk anymore. I keep my door shut, I keep my mouth shut. I need to hide behind something and feel the blue light glow and flicker across the screen. Be brave, take a walk downtown. Check reflection, mirrored window. Find out what's for sale. Avoid all eye contact with persons unknown. Avoid all eye contact with persons.
Seven, The Voice with Felsen, and the title track from their 2013 album, I Don't Know How to Talk Anymore. And of course, if you remember, that was the album of the year at the Twirly Awards this year. Great album, great band. And right now, all the way from the San Francisco Bay Area, I've got the writer, lead singer, songwriter, one of the guitarists for the band, Felsen, Andrew Griffin. Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks for having me on air.
Oh,
it's a pleasure.
My pleasure. It's been too long. I think we last saw you, was it like February, March or so?
Has it been that long? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. A summer without Felsen is just like a long summer in the wilderness, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Shame on all of America who haven't seen us in a long time, you know?
It is their fault. It is their darn fault.
I lay all the blame on them. It's not us.
Anyway, so glad to have you on the show. We're talking because of a really auspicious occasion this week, and we need to kind of work through this because... This is probably going to be the show of the fall. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about what's going on this Thursday in San Francisco.
Well, I would agree with you. I think this is a big one, and we're excited to be performing this Thursday evening in San Francisco at the Bottom of the Hill. And it is a CD release party for friends of ours, the Paul and John, and that's John Moorman and Paul Myers, who are a songwriting duo, and this is their debut album, and this is the CD release party for that. And I know John through his other band, the Orange Peels, who are also performing that night. So it's the Paul and John headlining, and the Orange Peels, and then Little Old Felsen is the opening band. So it should be a really beautiful evening of music. All those other bands are great, and the Bottom of the Hill is just a legendary place. You know, I mean, so much of rock and roll history has been played out on that stage. So it's an honor for us to be back there. I think this is our third time performing at the Bottom of the Hill. And it's just a really great club, great place to hear music, and a really strong bill. So I hope to see a lot of friends and fans out that night. So
I hope so. I'm coming. I'm making the trip down from Sacramento because this is the show to see. Tell us a little bit about the Bottom of the Hill. Why is it so legendary? I've never been there. I've been wanting to come. I'm ready.
Well, Bottom of the Hill, you know, unfortunately, so many clubs are closing in San Francisco or have already closed. Bottom of the Hill is kind of like one of the survivors. It's just been there for a long time. As far as I know, it's basically the same woman, Ramona, who's been booking the place, and I think she's a part owner. Mm. She's been doing this, I would say, for at least 20 years, and she's a pretty discerning critic of music, and really, like, she won't book like crappy acts. She only Nice. Books really good music in that place. And to her credit, because like I said, so many clubs have closed, she's managed to keep this place afloat. So I know it's a labor of love for her keeping that place afloat, but over the years she's booked so many incredible bands, bands who are on the rise and, you know, will have gone on to huge success. So she's kind of a tastemaker, you know.
Oh, I love that. I'll have to chat with her because I think we have that in common. We're big music fans. We like to do what's right for the music, and you won't hear crappy music on Twirl unless I do that on purpose. But I mean, it sounds like quite the honor. If you made the cut and you're playing at the Bottom of the Hill, then you guys are obviously good.
Well, I wouldn't argue with you there. You know, I mean, that's an honor for us to be invited to play there. And, so yeah, it's a really neat place. You know, you feel it when you're in there too, because they have all these incredible posters up from, bands that have played there over the years. And they keep all the they have all the calendars from years past, of all the bands you've played and have played there. And you look in these little calendars and you're seeing like all these bands that have played there and you're like, oh my gosh, they played here.
Wow.
You know, so it's pretty cool.
That's really neat to see you guys on that same stage. Well, I'm going to definitely soak up the history and I'm going to soak up the present and future tenses as well. I mean, we'll run through this. You know, I saw the Orange Peels. We did a Twirl Radio Presents show in Berkeley almost a year ago. I can't believe it's been that long. Last fall.
That's
right. And the Orange Peels, you know, they were on fire that night.
That was the night Alan got in the car accident, right?
Yeah. So I think there was an extra layer of intensity that night.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't sure if they were going to make it to the show. And I think I asked him and Jill about it and they said, you know, we could sit alone at home all night thinking about what might've been, but it would have been better just to go play with the people, rock out and get our mind off that trouble. And they turned in quite the performance. It was probably the best performance I'd seen all year just because of that extra layer of intensity. So I'm really curious to see if they're always that intense, you know. You could forgive them if they're not, but I have a feeling they are.
Well, I've just seen them once, and I thought they put on a really good show, but then at that show I bought a copy of their album, and we listened to it around the house like pretty much nonstop for about two months, so we really got to know the songs. And I kind of fell in love with the tune. So, Alan is a really fantastic songwriter and a great producer. And it should be fun to see them again, you know, now having knowing the songs a little bit better, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be able to sing along. So.
Yeah, and that night they played the entire Sun Moon album in order, which I love. I love that, just kind of the way they envision it. But I think they kicked it up a notch on the last song. It was fiery. Everybody took a breath, and he says, Okay, I think we'll play some oldies now, you know, but, you know, it's just, you know, they're good live, and, you know, a couple of guitars, you know, keyboards, and of course, I got to meet John Mormon that night, and so John's doing double duty on Thursday, as is Alan, really.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a little collective of musicians really kind of gathered around Alan. Alan has his own little record label, it's called Mystery Lawn Music, and it's kind of a collective of a bunch of different musicians. The Corner Laughers are in there, the Orange Peels, Alan Clapp and his orchestra, and now the Paul and John. And then I also know them through Allison Faith Levy, who he did a children's music record with her, and I play in Allison's band. That's one of my many paying gigs, you know.
Yes, yes.
So it's kind of a small little circle of people kind of gathered together. And but I will say this about Alan: I think that like anything the guy has produced is, it's just really extraordinary stuff, you know. And he's got great taste in music, and just makes really, really timeless sounding records. I think people are going to be talking about him in like 20, 30 years, you know, just aware of like what a great producer he is, you know. And I think if this was say 30 years ago when the music business was in better shape, I think he would be like a Phil Spector or something like that, you know, hopefully minus, you know, the handgun issues and shooting
yes.
people. But I think he has that type of vision and creativity, you know.
I think so too.
Yeah. So come see it. Come see the man in action. You know?
Absolutely. And, you know, there is a discernible Mystery Lawn sound. I mean, I've heard it on different records.
There is.
Yeah. It's just this big expansive sound. I don't know how to describe it better than that.
Yeah, he gets a really big, warm sound. You know, it's like an analog sound. To me, it sounds like a bit like everything he's done. It has like a big star vibe to it, which that's a huge inspiration for me. And those records sound amazing. So it's really timeless sounding stuff that he does. You know, so gosh, if I had a big sack of money, I would drive down and to his house and camp out on his front lawn until he produced the next Felsen record. Unfortunately. I don't have a big sack of money, so
no. But
maybe somebody can come through with a big check for me. Or something.
That's right. But you know, I got to tell you, the last Felsen record had a phenomenal sound in and of itself. I think you and Christian Hernandez put that together. That was the album. I Don't Know How to Talk Anymore. That is just an amazing album in and of its own. I think so far that is the height of your career at this point.
I would probably agree. I mean, I guess I want it to be that way. I want each new record I do to be better than the last one. And I felt like that was kind of a quantum leap forward for Felsen. That was really, that was very homemade, you know. It was really like a little cottage industry that made that record. But one thing that was nice about it is we had a lot of time on our hands. And, you know, we weren't pressured to, you know, sometimes when you're in a big studio paying a bunch of money, you're looking at the clock worrying about, you know, can we get all 8 songs done today, as opposed to let's just kind of stretch out and just, you know, find the absolute best sound and, you know, get the best performance down. So that was nice. And we did it all at Christian's house. So we were able to save a lot of money. And I think that was all made all the difference in the world for that record.
Yeah. I mean, besides that, it still sounded big studio like, and you had what I think really I liked about it, separates it from a lot of other records out there, is just the passionate performances. I mean, your blood and sweat and tears, and that's a whole other band, but you know, your passion, your whole being was present on every song of that album.
Well, thanks. That's a really nice compliment. You know, I put a lot of myself into that record, and that one just came out really good. It was a really good collective effort from everybody in the band at the time. And, you know, we all felt really good about it, and everybody was really invested in the process too, which is a beautiful thing. You know, I've been in bands where it's kind of like one guy is kind of leading the whole thing and the other people are just kind of either, you know, in varying degrees of checked in, checked out. This time it felt like everybody in Felsen was very, very committed to the process, and that was a beautiful thing. You know.
Definitely. And the thing about Felsen for me is there are some bands that are better live and some that are better in the studio. And usually their strength is one or the other. From what I can tell, you guys are equally strong on both fronts. And that's a rarity, I think.
Well, I think they're really different. I still have this idea that I would love to find a way to record the way that Felsen performs and make a record of that. I think they're two different animals. When we're on stage, it can be very animated and You know, the tunes, we usually play the tunes faster with more energy, and we're trying to just put on like a funner show, whereas the records, they can be a little bit darker, a little bit sadder, a little bit creepier, you know, because you're not worried about entertaining a room full of drunks or making sure that people are buying drinks and making sure the bartender is happy. You're really just concerned about, you know, conveying whatever it is you're trying to put out to the world. And I like both. You know, I love performing for an audience, and I love putting on a good show and really investing myself into it. And I love making a record too, because that's the communication that I want. And I think ultimately, I feel like my art form is making albums, you know, and it's a pleasure to do that, and an honor to really be able to get to do that. A lot of people don't get to do that in their lifetime, and I feel really lucky that I've been able to do that with Felsen and with other bands too.
I can imagine that would be a thrill to see the finished work in your hand and listen to it. No other people are listening to it. I'm here with Andrew Griffin of Felsen. We're chatting about the upcoming show at the Bottom of the Hill this Thursday. Why don't we take a break and listen to another song? Your call, Andrew. What do you want to hear?
Gosh, maybe another one from I Don't Know How to Talk Anymore. How about Lorazepam?
Okay, Lorazepam, and that is track number 9. Here's Felsen and Lorazepam.
I've got a new girlfriend. You know she makes me feel alright, yeah. Her name's Lorazepam. She helps me get to sleep at night. When she crawls into my bed, then she crawls into my head, yeah. And I didn't give a damn until I found my girl. Friend, her name was Vicodin. Yeah, she made me feel so good. You know, she kept me alive, okay. But I put her on the shelf when I sensed I'd lost myself. Yeah, but I didn't give a damn. Oh, yeah. Since I found my girl, Lorazepam, Lorazepam. You know I'm hooked on you, it's true. Gonna be the sleepy angel death of me, yeah. But I don't give a damn. Oh, yeah. When I'm with my girl, Lorazepam, Lorazepam. You know I'm hooked on you, it's true. Lorazepam.
.7, The Voice and Felsen and Lorazepam. I'm back here with Andrew Griffin. Great song. And of course, you guys are supporting the Paul and John on their CD release party on Thursday. So has anybody ever seen these guys live before?
I think this might be it. I think this is, we're going to be able to get in on the ground floor of their fandom. I think this may be their debut gig.
Nice.
I know that they've assembled a really incredible band of musicians. It's basically two guys who are songwriters, and they put together some incredible musicians around them to help them perform their album, and you know, some really talented people up there. So I think this could be big, you know, it could be the start of something special, start of something beautiful.
Think so. They're both really strong performers. I've seen John, of course, and I've only heard Paul on the album, but I guess he's been in other bands over the last couple decades. So it's kind of like a meeting of the minds. And then you said Allison Levy is going to be in the band. And there's like some other big names. It's almost like a little super group.
And he's got Don Richardson, the drummer from Four Non Blondes, playing with him that night too. So,
oh wow, that's pretty huge. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in. you know, I just went to see a Felsen gig, and all of a sudden I got these two other great bands too. It's pretty phenomenal. So, speaking of Felsen gigs, what's up on the horizon for you guys?
Well, we just have a few little things coming up for the rest of the year. You know, we're going to be making a trip to Southern California in the beginning of December. And then we have, you know, Dara and I, the background vocalist from Felsen, we've been doing gigs as a duo. So we're going to be doing a few more duo gigs over the next few months. And then we have a radio show coming up. We're playing on Calyx in Berkeley on, that's a Calyx Live, which is Saturday, November 8th. I think it's a 10 p.m. show. So if you're not listening to Twirl Radio that evening and you're in the Bay Area, you should take a listen. And other than that, you know, kind of laying low. We've had a good year, and I want to focus my efforts more on writing a new album.
Nice.
I'm hoping to get a new album out in 2015. So I got to start writing. I've got lots of little ideas, like literally about 150 little song embryos on my computer right now that I'm hoping to germinate into full blown songs.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So you just start working with one, and if it goes somewhere, you just keep going, huh?
Yeah, you know, I've got like lots of little ideas. I record them, I put them on my computer, and I just start listening to them over and over again. And if an idea, you know, inspires me, I'll put a little bit more effort into it. And it's kind of like kicking, you know, 25 cans down the road, so to speak. Like each day you go and kick one can a little bit further, and eventually, you know, you'll end up with 10 or 12 or 15 decent songs. And at least that's how I write at this point. It's rare for me to sit down and write an entire song from start to finish. That's very rare for me to do that. Usually it takes months and months of working on a bunch of things. And I'm kind of schizophrenic in how I write too. I don't focus just on one thing. I've always got lots of different irons in the fire, so to speak.
Interesting. You know, and although you say it's schizophrenic, in some ways, I can see now that maybe that helps an album sound more cohesive because you're kind of working on all the songs at the same time. I mean, your songs,
you know,
go really well together.
That's a really good point. I think that is interesting when you're working on a bunch of tunes, like especially the lyrics. I keep just files and files of lyrics with the same thing, like just kind of open files. And if I hear something in conversation, I'll throw it into one file, and these files sort of start to coalesce into different ideas and themes. And there's a lot of mix and match between the different sets of lyrics. And there's a lot of things that kind of tie them together. And then I especially felt like that with our last record. There's a lot of lyrical and musical themes too, that kind of threads that kind of tie through the whole album, you know?
That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm here with Andrew Griffin. I cannot believe our segment is almost over. Andrew Griffin of Felsen, where can my listeners find out more about the band and purchase some of that great Felsen music?
My favorite website for our band is our Bandcamp page, which is Felsen, which is felsen.bandcamp.com, felsen.bandcamp.com. And one thing that's nice about that versus, say, iTunes is that if you purchase our music on there, we get all the money from it. We're not giving a portion of it away to, you know, some huge mega corporation. So, yes, and purchase a lot. All four of our albums are for sale on that website. You can find out, you know, all of our most recent or our upcoming gigs are posted on there, and you can get all kinds of good info about us. So
awesome. Support the artist. Andrew Griffin of Felsen, thank you so much. What song of yours should we play as we end the segment?
Why don't we listen to Rock and Roll's Not Dead?
Okay, here we go. The anthem. This is probably the mission statement. Felsen and Rock and Roll's Not Dead. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
talking First Amendment here. Community radio, the way it's meant to be. This is The Voice, Sacramento's only community access radio station.
These are leading me along the life found out, which is the way to spring, which is the way to fall. Winter, summer, tell me true.
The Voice, and one of the bands that will be appearing at the Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco this Thursday night, October 30th, the Orange Peels, the legendary band from San Francisco Bay Area. The song we heard was Watch Her Fly, and that came off of the wonderful 2013 album Sun Moon, produced and written by Alan Clapp. And of course, Alan Clapp is also going to be playing as part of the band of the Paul and John. That's going to be possibly their debut performance, and we're going to hear a couple of Paul and John songs right now. Can't wait to hear them live for their CD release party on Thursday, October 30th. I think the show starts at 9, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, we're going to hear their song Can't Be Too Careful, and we're going to give away a couple of their CDs right now. So as soon as the music starts, be my first caller at area code 916-456-5199. That's 916-456-5199. 5199, and I'll give you a copy of the Paul and John's Inner Sunset. Here's Can't Be Too Careful. Good luck.
We'll be right back.
101.7. The Voice and brand new music by the, what would he call us? The Subject at Hand, the Band of the Hour, the Paul and John. That is Paul Myers and John Mormon. And we heard their track, You Can't Be Too Careful, off their wonderful debut album, Inner Sunset. Those guys come from San Francisco and they are playing their CD release party show at the Bottom of the Hill this coming Thursday night, October 30th. I believe the show starts at 9 p.m. Felsen, the Orange Peels, and the Paul and John. We've got a couple more ways for you to win a copy of their debut CD, Inner Sunset. Be my first caller at area code 916-456-5199, and you've got a copy of Inner Sunset on the way. So that's the Paul and John. We're going to hear their song. What song are we hear? We're going to hear Long Way Back, and then give me a call at area code 916-456-5199, and it's yours. Here's the Paul and John. Here we go.
'77 and the punk rock summer. I was just another of the wannabe strummers. Kinda believed it was a revolution. I never knew back then, but I was wrong. Why did I think that it would last forever? When none of the fans could ever keep it together. Setting me up another dissolution. I wanna go back to before.
The Voice and the Paul and John and Long Way Back off their wonderful 2014 album Inner Sunset. And of course, we're going to hear that and many other songs off that album Thursday, October 30th, this coming Thursday at Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco. Be there and join us. There's a couple copies of that CD left, so give me a call, area code 916-456-5199, and I'll hook you up. Next up, the Cherry Blue Storms.